You're listening to SBS News.
It's been 9 days since Queensland last recorded a case of COVID-19, but on Thursday, the state clocked up 3 fresh local infections, all in the border town of Goondiwindi. 2 of the cases are not of concern, but one has been in the community for 5 days. It's believed they may have picked up the virus after travelling to the northern New South Wales town of Moree, where there's an outbreak. But Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says high vaccination rates in Goondiwindi mean they can avoid going into lockdown for now.
Now, the good news about Goondiwindi is this. 93.1% of the residents living in Goondiwindi have had one dose and 83.5% have had 2 doses. This is a highly vaccinated community.
The Premier was out in Logan, again pushing Queenslanders to get vaccinated ahead of the state's planned border reopening on November 19. 78.5% of Queenslanders have now had at least one dose of a COVID vaccine, while 65.2% are fully vaccinated. But many regions with low vaccination rates remain a concern, with some Indigenous communities as low as 25% fully immunised. Low rates on the Gold Coast too are a focus because it's the main border crossing from New South Wales. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says the new cases further along the border at Goondiwindi should be a lesson for everyone.
Now, 2 of these locally acquired cases were unvaccinated, and the third case of the woman in her 30s had just received one dose of the vaccine. So my message is very clear, and I've said this. If you are unvaccinated and the virus comes into your community, the virus will hunt you out.
The vaccination rates in Queensland, as well as Western Australia and the Northern Territory, are continuing to lag behind the national average. Australia is on the cusp of reaching 80% full vaccination, currently at 79.1%. But that number is skewed by high vaccination rates in New South Wales, Victoria and the ACT, where COVID outbreaks have spurred people to protect themselves. Despite this, new infections again spiked in Victoria with 1,247 cases and 9 deaths. There was also an increase in New South Wales of 308 new cases and 4 deaths, as that state notched up 20 million COVID tests since the start of the pandemic. That's almost 2.5 tests for everyone in the state. And there were 13 new infections in the ACT. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says the progress reopening those jurisdictions will be on the agenda when National Cabinet meets tomorrow for the first time in a month.
What we've seen in New South Wales and Victoria and the ACT is very good progress. The combination of vaccines and of public health and social measures has worked very well, and we've been able to begin that process of opening up, families being reunited, people being brought together, weddings and funerals and just grandparents meeting their beautiful little grandchildren for the first time. This is the real stuff of life that's been facilitated by the vaccines and therefore the opening up.
And Mr. Hunt welcomed the emergency approval of the Pfizer vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds in the United States. Pfizer has made a similar application to the Therapeutic Goods Administration in Australia.
They will work through that. They will consider all of the data there. They will work as quickly as possible. And as soon as they're ready, we're ready. As soon as the medical regulator is ready and they've done all of the work to ensure that it's safe and effective. We have the doses, we have the distribution system.
Mr. Hunt was out in Melbourne announcing $239 million for medical research projects. One of those is a project by the University of Queensland looking at the long-term effects of COVID on the brain. Brain fog is often reported as one of the symptoms of long COVID. Another scientist who has worked on COVID has also been in the spotlight after receiving the country's top science award. Evolutionary biologist and virologist Professor Eddie Holmes from the University of Sydney has been given the $250,000 Prime Minister's Prize for Science. Professor Holmes was the first person in the world to publicly share the COVID-19 virus's genome sequence.
So once you have the genetic sequence, that allowed the first COVID test to be developed. They're actually based on the sequence of the tests we're using today. And it allowed the vaccines that we use today also to be developed. And that's what these mRNA vaccines we've heard so much about, that's what kind of they're based on. So this new technology, all you need is that genome sequence. And so having that sequence allowed these vaccines to be developed. So kind of what the work that I did and others did kind of just kind of, boosted, kind of supercharged the work on vaccine design.
Professor Holmes has a 30-year career working on viruses such as HIV, Ebola and SARS. He's used his newfound attention to call for an increase in worldwide vaccine manufacturing and distribution and to create a global monitoring system to quickly detect new diseases and avoid future pandemics. He's also warned of the risks posed by climate change in causing new diseases. Professor Holmes told SBS News that despite viruses being his thing professionally, just like everyone else, living through a global pandemic has had its challenges.
I wish it never happened. I wish that, I honestly wish that we'd never been in the situation that we're in, okay, that we could wind the clock back and start what's happening. I will always be remembered for this. It's kind of, it's ironic really, because I do lots of other things that I mainly work on. But I think just pressing the send button on a tweet, posting a sequence in January 2020 will be my kind of lasting legacy, which is I say somewhat ironic.
Claire Slattery, SBS News.